Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations. By Wecker.
Hello and welcome to Clustered Conversations. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm your other host, Bob.
And thank you for joining us again for another episode. Today's a bit special. It's a little bit different. We just had kind of a big announcement for our new 4.0 release that's coming out here pretty soon. Kind of a vision casting, you know, what we're expecting to do with this new version, what we really want to see in the direction that we're taking Weka. And one of those directions being multi-cloud. So previously, we've had great support for AWS and being able to go in there, use CloudFormation templates, stand up your cluster in a matter of 20-30 minutes or so, depending on however fast the internet's going that day. And now we're moving out. We're supporting more and more clouds. Bob, like which ones are we going for right now?
We've talked a little bit about before, and you know, not so secretly, Oracle Cloud, right? We've got support for them now. And a new one that we're working in is, at least today, we've got working Google Cloud. But we haven't fully released it yet, but we definitely support their objects for our S3. And, you know, other clouds are coming very quickly. And Oracle's cloud, as you've said multiple times this last week, is their object store just works. So
It does just work.
Yep. So we support them out the gate. So yeah, multi-clouds. And now we're in three big clouds and working fantastically. We got customers actually across all three now.
Yeah, that's like a really amazing thing, being able to use whichever cloud provider you prefer, whatever, like realistically, the reason I've always seen people going multi-cloud, and you know, this is just my opinion, is that every cloud is different. Every provider has some niche that they're really, really good at, something that differentiates them. And being able to support all of them allows you to move between any of them so that you can, at a whim, at your desire, go and actually make use of the features you need to make use of.
Well, and if if your jobs change or your business changes or the way you want to process something changes, something new comes out, you can move to the other cloud that has that service now and kick it off and start running. You know, we found some really interesting shapes inside of Oracle that gives us high performance and high throughput that's at a lesser cost than some other places. If that's what you need, it's a good place for supercomputing. And Google, we got customers who want to go in there because they don't want to be in Amazon and, you know, compete internally.
So, yeah, or they want to make use of like BigQuery or the other sort of features that are inside of GCP. There's lots of different reasons to kind of be using all the different clouds. And why not? Why not use all the clouds?
And people will move back and forth. Yep, people will move back and forth as they need to. And we want to support them wherever they take their data, right? The data is the hardest part to move around. If we can help them get it from place to place.
Yeah, I remember the term data gravity.
Oh, yeah, it's a data sinkhole.
Still a theory, though. Still just a theory, that gravity thing. It's not quite a law, but we're still working on that.
We'll get there someday.
We'll get there someday, exactly.
All right, so what else we got? We got this thing called incremental snapshot updates, which was kind of interesting way for us to get heading down this federated cluster space, right? We want to have the capability of having clusters running in multiple sites all in sync at the same time. Right. It's a hard thing to do with hold on a second. I'm recording, sweetie. That's what the door is closed.
We've been interrupted.
All right. I don't know how we do this. I can clap. All right. So incremental snapshot updates, right? We got those things coming out now. What does that mean? We're going down the federated space for file systems, right? The ability to have Weka clusters in multiple sites, keeping the data in sync at multiple sites. This is the first step into that, right? Our capability will be take a snapshot at site A, send that snapshot into an Amazon or Oracle, anybody else's S3.
And somebody's object store.
Yeah, somebody's object store. And at that secondary site, wherever you have another cluster, you point to that same snapshot, you mount it, and you're able to read from it. So now you have a point-in-time copy. Now, what's really nice is you'd be working on it and reading data from it. And if site A updates that snapshot, you download it locally, update it, while mounted, and the new data just appears.
That's amazing. That's going to be really super useful, especially for like M&E workloads where you have assets, you know, sets of assets that need to be everywhere like at the same exact time. And, you know, you've got your artists anywhere in the world. They're all completely disparate. And then having just a central repo that they all have to access and download from just takes time. It's slow, right?
Right.
You download from there. And now you've got 13 different copies everywhere and everyone's working off of different data. If instead you've got that one master copy and you do that incremental snapshot download and restore, now everyone sees exactly the same assets.
And only the incremental changes need to be updated. So it doesn't need to take the entire file system. So it updates only the incremental pieces, updates the metadata. And while you're mounted, you can all of a sudden see all these new files pop up that were, you know, moved over there. Now, it's right now basically one writer, one site is the controller, and the other one is the child process.
The consumers.
Consumers, that's a better way to do it. And so you don't want to have, you don't want to be writing data to both places because one will supersede the other. So we'll figure that out as we move along. But we'll have some guardrails around that. And we'll explain to people how it works. And
I mean, also going to be great for like genomics workloads where you need to have like a sequence shared around to different areas. We're doing the same work on in different clouds, different geos, whatever.
Well, I was talking to a bunch of geologists that they're doing research. And what they want to do is be able to keep data in sync around the world so that multiple people from different institutes can work on the same data. Right. So I think that's another one that's going to be very, very useful. So what else we got, Josh? What else is in this new 4.0 launch?
This new 4.0 launch, we are finally going GA with our multi-container. And what that is allowing us to do is that usually on a single container, we'd allow you to use 19 cores, 19 physical CPU cores on that system, which by and large, unlike systems up until now, would give you an incredible amount of performance. But we've got systems out there now, like those AMD EPICs that are 64 cores on a single processor. Yep. You know, Intel CPU is doing like 56 or something cores in a processor, and then being able to do multiple processors in a system, you know upwards 100 plus physical cores. And if that system is dedicated to Weka and you can only use 19 before, now you can use a lot more. So you can throw a lot more horsepower and see even higher performance density. Like what I think we were just doing some multi-container testing on a system. We had like 24 drives in this thing. It was a Dell R750. It's like 24 NVMEs, just like a 6-node system. We were doing 9.7 million read IOPS against that system. And I don't think on the reads we had actually tapped it out quite yet. I think we needed more clients to drive the workload.
So I only had 100 gig connections on these DL380s I'm playing with, and I created a multi-container configuration because I had 22 drives. And you looked at it and thought, oh, it was crazy because I was getting almost 12 gigabytes a second out of each one of the systems. So by getting all that processing out of the way, we can fully saturate that 100 gig link, even, you know, almost to the point where it seems unreasonably ridiculous.
I do like unreasonable.
Yes. So it was a nice little test, and now I'm playing around with other stuff on there, but that's neither here nor there. But it's fun because multi-container we can do in the past, but it hasn't been GA and simple. So now it's GA and simple. So it's going to be allow us to do some other cool features with our clusters.
Yeah, cool. Those new cool features are going to be pretty cool. Talk about that soon.
Yeah.
But speaking of hardware.
Yeah, we got the new Intel 810 cards. So
I was about to say, I hear there's more than just one producer of network cards that can do 100 gig.
Right. So we got the Intel 810 cards. We've supported the Intel 710 for a long time, but we needed some driver work to be done to make the 810 work. But now it's supported in GA, so you can use them with your clusters going forward. So now we can have a second vendor for cards, which makes our lives a lot easier since the whole supply chain of chips out there.
There is still that thing going on, right? Yeah.
We're someday, still chasing cards. Cards seem to be like they seem to be the long tail on most of the deals that we work on. Drives, we can find drives, we can find motherboards, but a hard time finding network cards.
It is the NICs that are the unobtainium right now.
Exactly. So then now that we got network cards, we can talk out of that network with something new. What's that, Josh?
That would be NFS 4 and 4.1 support.
Yep. So here we go. If you're the guy out there who wants NFS 4, we got it for you now.
Right? Or if you've got that requirement where, hey, you know, NFS 4 is the new hotness. It is what is required. You know, NFS 3 is, 18 something years old at this point. Like, you know, talk about a long-lived protocol, right? It does done amazing work. Still works great, but there's room for improvement. And NFS 4.0, it is that improvement.
Yep, if you need NFS 4 and 4.1, absolutely we can support it. But I mean, obviously, if you're going to be using NFS, you might as well look at our POSIX agent. You get a lot better performance off the POSIX agent. But NFS 4 will be there for those who need it for, we call them access protocols, but they do fairly good. I mean, they'll do, pretty good performance, but they are really more for editing files and things like that, not for running the jobs. You're going to run the jobs, you want to go over the the 100 gig and you want to go over our POSIX or GPU Direct and RDMA and get yourself that line speed.
Exactly. Yep. Great for throughput. Still a little bit challenged on IOP and latency, but there's ways around that.
So we've moved into the 2010s with our new GUI.
I thought the last GUI was pretty nice. It was nice and reactive. You hover over things, it zooms in, zooms out. But now it was a
fantastically simple, but it was a very simple GUI. And now we've got a very simple GUI. Yeah, we have a more interactive, more live GUI with that. It's more 2020.
HTML5, right?
Yep. And it's a very nice and very slick and where the updates before were like every 5 seconds, now the updates are instantaneous. I mean, it's really nice to watch the thing.
It is really live. Oh, yeah. And more importantly, the basic dashboard that you see like right when you log in is more focused on monitoring the solution. It's not so much on what does my logical solution look like? How many little dots and squares and stuff do we have on the dashboard? It is what's my performance? What are my alerts? Like, what's my capacity looking like? Give me that super high level stuff right now, right off the bat. I'll dig into everything else later.
Yep. I log in and there's all the information I need to know that makes me happy. I can see hotspots. I can see systems that are being bullies or the systems that are running the hardest on the system and give you a quick glimpse into your world.
Top clients. That is super, super useful. Absolutely. Yep.
And now we got ourselves a cluster. We got ourselves a GUI. We got some protocols and cards and all that. Oh my. Now, how do we manage that going forward as we upgrade and move forward?
There's new versions that come out every once in a while.
Yep.
How do we get to those?
Well, we got our new non-disruptive upgrade features coming into the product, right? We've been working on it. The multi-containers part of it, the protocols are part of it, right? We want to be able to give you access to data all the time. So we've done a lot of work to make sure that the upgrade can go smoothly, easily, and within an ability to not knock you off your file system, right?
little things like that.
But,
yeah.
You know, we've been doing upgrades for quite a long time. I mean, you know, I've been here a while now, and most upgrades finish in time, but the clusters are getting bigger.
And they're getting bigger.
And so, we got customers right now who just deployed an 80-node cluster. That was our first cluster. So it's 80 physical servers running 21.9 petabytes, right? It's
jumping in feet first there,
And that's the first half of the cluster. They're going to add the other half later.
Nice.
And so, non-disruptive upgrades are a little more interesting when you're managing, 80 some odd hosts and you're managing 560 clients. And then you've got S3 people coming in, NFS and SMB and everybody else and his mother trying to access data at all times. So we want to make it as simple as possible. And that's why we've gone to this work of updating the infrastructure underneath Weka to improve the performance and improve the upgradability and supportability of the product.
Yeah, because herding those cats on an upgrade of making sure that, you say you're mounting NFS, make sure all your NFS is unmounted, all your SMB clients are unmounted, going back and double checking and waiting for the sign off. And then, here's the go time. And you go and you turn off data services and somebody starts complaining because, you missed someone because that always happens, right? Unless you get it absolutely perfect, and man, it feels good when you get it perfect. But that is absolutely a challenge. And being able to do it non-disruptively instead, way more better.
Oh, so much better. And, we've been working on this for quite a while and I'm very excited to see it come out. This 4.0 release is going to be interesting. I mean, we even did more with Weka Home. Most customers don't know Weka Home, but it's very important to us internally because it is our internal monitoring tool for the clusters. So it keeps track of, systems up and down, any kind of errors that you see, proactively opens cases if there's an issue with a client and things like that. So, and then often we contact the customer and go, hey, look, this client had this, this blip. Oh yeah. Oh, it looks like the network went bad. And so
it is always the network.
It's always network. But so we fixed quite a bit of things with one of my customers. They found a race condition that we hadn't ever seen before with a particular application they're running. And so our guys helped them chase it down and between the two of us figure out how to fix it. And now there's a fix in the cluster in the client software. So that race condition doesn't happen anymore. So,
I do enjoy a good race though.
Yeah. It's always fun to watch how our support works and we get to move stuff forward all through the process.
Absolutely.
So
I think those are the kind of the highlights of 4.0. Yeah,
those are the highlights. I mean, this is a big release for us and a big launch to get us ready to be that next generation kind of file system that we have been all along, but make us more palatable more easier to consume for a lot of our customers, right? Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of customers go, hey, I'd love to run you, but you're not in Google. I go, great. So let's go ahead and let's fix that problem. Then you get, we'd love to run you, but you know, I got these 128 cores and I want to burn 19 and leave the rest hanging. Okay, well, let's solve that problem. So
absolutely.
Every bit of it. And then NFS V4 is always one of those checkboxes that, that shows up on RFPs all the time. So let's
might as well just support it. Let's go.
Let's get it out there. So happily supporting it. Now we'll have POSIX, NFS V3, NFS V4, NFS V4.1.
Yep.
SMB. And then we've got, did I say S3?
S3. And on the SMB, like not just SMB, but SMB multi-channel, SMB direct.
Absolutely. SMB RDMA. Fancy. Yep. And then the RDMA as well as GPU direct. So we're becoming a little bit of a
that's a couple of protocols. That's a few ways to access.
And it'll get you there, all of them fast. So that's what you're going to get from us. Weka is fast. And
there's a theme.
Billions and billions of IOPS. That's our next. You and I got to get to the 100 million IOP. That's our next goal, I think, for weird benchmarks.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it, man. Well, thank you very much for joining me this time, Josh.
You're welcome. Thank you all, the audience, for listening in.
And all right. We'll
talk to you next time.
For Cluster Conversations, I'm Bob.
I'm Josh.